You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. This is the broadcast for Saturday evening, July the 25th, coming to you again, live as always, from Memphis, Tennessee. Keith Alexander is somewhere in the wilds of Mississippi, and he has lost cell phone contact. So we will proceed forward without my wingman here. But speaking of Mississippi, just last week there was a real-life scene from the fictitious movie Mississippi Burning. A black civil rights activist was killed when his car was apparently run off the road. However, the death of Anthony Hervey will not be the centerpiece of a Hollywood screenplay, nor will the national news media infect our minds with white guilt over his death. And the simple reason for that is because Anthony Hervey was an outspoken defender of the Confederate flag. He was one of a handful of black Americans immune to the cultural Marxism virus that made him a danger, as Ken Givitan writes on his website, dailyken.com, to the predatory left and the cultural Marxism agenda. Black Americans must play the role of victim. Those who refuse and are outspoken in defense of the truth may suffer the same fate as Hervey. It appears as though he was assassinated, though authorities are refusing to draw that conclusion pending an investigation. Now, let me fill in the blanks for you here. A black man in favor of Southern rights was run off the road and killed in Mississippi immediately after he had spoken at a public rally in support of a Confederate monument in Birmingham, Alabama, and we hear little more than crickets from the establishment media. But to give you a little more background on this story, NBC News did get some coverage, very little. NBC News did add this. A black Mississippi man who often dressed in Confederate regalia to support the state flag has died, officials said Monday. Anthony Hervey, 49 years of age, was killed Sunday when his 2005 Ford Explorer left the roadway and overturned on Mississippi Highway 6 in Lafayette County. The vehicle's owner and passenger in the car, there was an eyewitness to this, ladies and gentlemen. Her name was Arlene Barnum. She told the Associated Press on Monday that Hervey swerved and crashed after another vehicle, listen closely here, carrying four or five young black men pulled up alongside them, yelling and looking angry. The woman, Arlene Barnum, who survived this wreck, she was the passenger in this car driven by Anthony Hervey, said that he lost control and crashed immediately after this car sped up in a threatening way beside them. She said that she and Hervey were returning home on Sunday from Birmingham, Alabama, where they had attended a rally to save the Lynn Park Confederate Monument. Finally, and there is more to this story, the New American adds this. This was in advance of the death on the roadway that was obviously prompted by this silver car carrying four or five angry black males, apparently stalking these two for having spoken at a Confederate rally. But even before that event occurred, a little earlier in the day, while everyone was still on the ground at the rally in Birmingham, this is what the New American writes was the scene. About 30 protesters showed up at the rally. Now, that would be the people protesting against the monument. Many wearing shirts with Martin Luther King written on them. Barnum, this is, again, the woman who was in the car, believed that they were there to provoke an incident, offering examples such as the fact that they were putting cameras right into the faces of the pro-Confederate rally goers. They were harassing kids present at the event. She even noticed an angry-looking black lady moving closer to her, so she moved away to avoid a confrontation and left the park by another route, climbing over a chain-link fence. The protesters were yelling names at the rally participants, especially the black Americans who were in attendance, demanding that they go home, shouting over and over, "I hate you." One man came up to Barnum. Again, this is the woman who was in the car being driven by Anthony Hervey. She survived the wreck. I believe the car flipped over three times after being run off the road by these black malcontents and agitators. She survived. He died. But these protesters came up to her shouting over and over, "I hate you." They also said, "You are really sick." Finally, the police asked the protesters to leave the rallygoers alone, which led to one of them pushing a police officer. She was arrested. I want to repeat that these agitators harassed the pro-Confederate rallygoers. They shouted over and over, "I hate you," directed primarily at the black people who were in attendance there supporting the Confederate flag. And I don't think it's going to take long for the Mississippi Highway Patrol to verify this eyewitness account. And I don't think it's going to take long for the police to figure out who was in that silver car that ran Hervey off the road and killed him. But I want to ask you this. Where's the Southern Poverty Law Center on this? Where's the Anti-Defamation League? You know, in this story of black bodies and white silence, isn't it ironic that it's websites like the Council of Conservative Citizens and the Political Cesspool that's doing the job that the Southern Poverty Law Center won't do? They wrote an article a couple of days after our rally in Memphis that drew 500 people. Right hand to God. I don't have it pulled up in front of me. But the words neo-Nazi, racist, white supremacist, white nationalist, other things, were all used in a single sentence. Now, they weren't there. I was. You know, they're talking about me, obviously. I was there with my family. I was there with a lot of good people. Everybody there, by that I could tell, was all American. You know, but they're going to write this horrible defamation, completely ridiculous characterization about my program and those who support our work, those who turned out, the 500 strong in Memphis. They have the time and effort to write an article about that and to harass our people for having shown up in Memphis. Not a peep. You know, a man was murdered. I think it's obvious that this man was murdered, a black man. Not that it matters, but he so happened to be black in this case. You know, certainly if he was white, you could have never expected them to cover it. But he was black, so you would think that maybe they would. But no. It doesn't fit the pre-written narrative. You know, so he's dead, and it doesn't make any news. Now, can you imagine if he had been a black man who had spoken at an anti-Confederate rally and was then, a few hours later, run off the road by a car full of angry young white men? Well, think about that. Think about that, and I'll tell you more about this right after this.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
So we're talking about the death of Anthony Hervey, run off the road by a car full of angry blacks, presumably, I think almost obviously, because he had just spoken at a Confederate flag rally. He was on his way back to Oxford, Mississippi, where he lived, from the city of Birmingham, Alabama, where he had spoken in the defense of the flag that he identified with. Hunter Wallace, who's a friend of ours, he's the editor of OccidentalDescent.com, a great website. He knew Anthony Hervey and had met him before, and he wrote a personal account of this that I'd like to share with you. This is what Hunter Wallace has to say. The reason we see so few of these quote-unquote black Confederates speaking out in public is not because they don't exist altogether, but rather it is because they're silenced, intimidated, and forced to conform by other blacks who bitterly resent whites, the Confederacy, and despise black conservatives almost more than anything. And I'll tell you, as Eddie just walked in, and he can attest to this, it's obviously a very small fraction of the black community. Most of the black community doesn't care one way or the other. I mean, they just don't. I mean, it is the same is true for whites. I mean, they just don't care one way or the other. And certainly more blacks would say that they hate the Confederate flag because that's what they've been conditioned to think they believe. But it's not 100%. And when we were at the Nathan Bedford Forrest rally here in Memphis a couple of weeks ago, you know, 500 people, I would say anywhere between a dozen and 20 of those were blacks, and they were there with their Confederate flags, and they were there taking in the event and participating in it and celebrating it. Hunter Wallace continues, though. He remembered the nasty reception that Anthony Hervey got in Oxford on that blistering hot August afternoon. This was last year. He remembered a confrontation involving H.K. Edgerton, who is another black man who supports the Confederacy. He remembered hearing Uncle Tom dropped at them more than once. And for the first time, Hunter Wallace put himself in their shoes and thought about the risk that they were taking by sticking their necks out as pro-Confederate black men. And he asked himself, Hunter did, was Anthony Hervey really an eccentric? Well, he was eccentric enough to drive from Oxford, Mississippi to Birmingham, Alabama last week and sit for hours in the mid-July sun to oppose those who wanted to trash a Confederate monument. The only kind of person who does that is someone who loves the South and is willing to make a sacrifice to preserve its heritage. So Here we are in the year 2015. This guy was basically lynched. This is the climate of hate and intolerance that we find ourselves immersed in. The storm clouds are brewing. I want to read one more passage from Hunter Wallace, and then we'll break this down. He writes this in a second article, basically in summation. Truly an incredible and extraordinary story. Anthony Hervey, a black man, routinely dressed up as a Confederate soldier, proudly waved the Confederate battle flag, called himself a self-styled black redneck who only identified as a proud Southerner, who condemned, among other things, white guilt, anti-racism, political correctness, and the welfare state for destroying his people, and who said the only time he felt safe was in the company of Southern whites who loved the Confederate flag, many of them gun-toting. We put a picture of this guy up on our website when we posted an article about his murder, and I'll call it a murder until it's proven otherwise. Here are some of the signs that he had, that he was carrying with. He was wearing a Confederate flag and carrying signs that read, "Welfare has destroyed my people. Please don't hire me just because I'm black. White guilt equals black genocide. Anti-racism is racism." So I'll say this, you know, God bless this guy. I would have stood there with him. Now, this is different from the Tea Parties, where the Tea Parties would go out of their way to find somebody on the street and put him up to the podium. I mean, this guy came unsolicited. He came because he believed in it. And we've got black people in this country. Now, would we rather them not be educated and informed and people like this than the chronic malcontents who are just in a berserker mode of hate? I mean, of course we would prefer them to be like this. And I have, you know, listen, I wish I could have been there with him. You know, after leaving Birmingham and traveling almost all the way home to Oxford, Mississippi, he stalked, chased, harassed, run off the road, and once again in Mississippi, of all places, by a carload of irate, screaming blacks in a silver vehicle who approached from the driver's side, then swerve around to the passenger side. And this is based on the eyewitness testimony of the woman who was in the car with this gentleman who survived. The SUV swerves off the road. It rolls three times. He's killed in the deadly impact. This woman is pinned in her SUV, and she sends out text messages to other Confederate flag supporters in the area to come help her. Now, imagine the reaction from the media. And I've said this once earlier. If the races and circumstances had been a negative image, if they'd been reversed and say it was a carload of angry white people who pursued a black anti-Confederate speaker and a woman of color from the NAACP, and run them off the road. Well, you can bet it would be international news. You can bet it would be a story about race in America. You can bet that there would be a sequel to Mississippi Burning all over again. Meanwhile, in the wake of this death, this murder, and the shooting in Chattanooga by a Muslim, again, the usually outspoken SPLC, they can take the time to trash our rally and call us all sorts of names. They haven't issued a peep about this. You know, they mysteriously disappeared faster than the Red October underneath the waves. So, you know, this is it. This is how evil and wicked the media is in perpetuating its false narrative, its double standards, and its hypocrisy. And I am afraid that Anthony Hervey will not be the last death that comes from the irate hatred that has been fomented in the black underclass by the media and by hate groups like the SPLC. And we see them now, as we saw, and I'm going to let Eddie take over now. He's in the studio. Blacks going to Memphis with a shovel, starting to dig up our ancestors, or pretending that that's what they're going to do, or who knows. You know, it's getting hot out there. And unless the government and the media puts an end to this, I'm afraid there's going to be more casualties. And it could happen in a variety of ways. It could happen, you know, if somebody is driving along in their pickup truck and it's got a Confederate flag on it, and blacks start opening fire on it. What if that person survives and shoots back? How do you think the media is going to portray that? Just another white racist gunning down blacks. You can, the headlines write themselves. But I'll tell you, Eddie, there was an incident in Denton, Texas, where blacks were desecrating yet another monument, yet another statue there, raised in the name of the fallen heroes of that community. One of the descendants of a man presumably honored by that very memorial showed up this week. A college student showed up with an AR-15 to protect the monument. Got a picture of it. We're going to post it on the website next week. Hey, folks, if you're not going to thepoliticalcesspool.org every day, you've got to correct that oversight, because I'm telling you, the stories there are more engrossing, more inspirational, more infuriating than ever before. Sometimes all at once. But this guy didn't break any laws. You know, Texas is a gunslinger state. The police were called on him, and the police gave him permission to continue to carry the AR-15 so long as he had the proper permit, which apparently he did. They just said they would prefer it to be strapped to his chest rather than him holding it out, that he would have it harnessed to his chest. But they didn't tell him he couldn't be there. They didn't tell him he had to put the gun up. They didn't tell him he had to go away. The powder keg is simmering, folks. I'm afraid to find out what's going to happen next, but we've got to stand our ground. We're going to talk about this with Eddie Miller when we come back. Stay tuned.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, I'm going to give you a little more background, then Eddie's got something he's going to want to say. We lost Keith due to the mix-up with the cell phone and him coming back from Mississippi, and that's fine. We're going to let Eddie take it from the top here, and then I'm going to give you a little more background on what happened there in Denton, Texas, with this brave defender of the Confederate monument. You know, did nothing illegal. You know, you say, oh, well, he brandished a weapon. Well, you can carry a weapon in Texas. Nothing wrong with that at all. He was there to defend something, not to provoke an incident, and certainly not to administer violence. But, Eddie, before we go back into that, I know there's something you wanted to say.
Okay, listen, before I break down the story James just finished, I'd like to say this. You know, I know there's been some people that are kind of displeased with us because, I mean, God forbid we've been on the air. I've been coming on for 10 years. I mean, Lord knows we have shortcomings. We make mistakes every now and then. But my blood got to boiling the other day, you know, about I've noticed we've had some people that have just taken pot shots at us and they're not satisfied because we're not 100% pure in their eyes. Well, let me tell you what we do here, people. Me and James especially, we have been singled out by the United States Senate and the United States Congress. We're on their list, their hit list. We're on the hit list of other government agencies. We take risk every day. I've been blackballed. I'm a registered nurse, as you know. I've been blackballed from two different major hospitals here in Memphis, Tennessee, for my beliefs. We take risks. Just 2 weeks ago, when we went to the Confederate, you know, for the birthday party for the wonderful Nathan Bedford Forrest, we stood a very real risk of drive-by shootings. We were right there marching up and down a major thoroughfare here in Memphis, Tennessee, with the Confederate flags. It's a real danger, people. We get paid zero. We get paid nothing. It's an hour in the sweltering hot heat out to the radio station and back. We get paid nothing, nothing. We're doing this for the benefit of our race. We have this thing called honor and integrity. And I got news for you people out there. We ain't backing down one iota from our honor. We're not compromising jack. And before I get too carried away, you know, if you don't like the show, if you don't like it because you listen 10 years and you hear one crummy thing that you don't like it, well, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't say this, but you can go straight to hell. We don't need you. We've been battling this thing. We took this show from a bean field with 500 listeners. We're one of the largest internet radio shows in America. We're the only radio show in the country sticking up for you. So if you don't like it, you know, go to hell. I'll turn it over to you, Jay. So we're not backing down an inch. And you know what? And I shouldn't say this, but if you probably shouldn't. If you want to withhold your 50 cents a month, you know what? Send me a bill, and I'll make it up for you. Gladly, if you'll swear to God that you won't listen to this show again.
Well, you know, Eddie and I were just reading about the coldest places on the planet. There is actually a place called Hell, Norway, and that's where, of course, Eddie's asking that you go to. Well, what he's talking about, you know, Eddie
didn't help it. I know I shouldn't sound off.
Eddie understands, as I do, as Keith does, as everybody associated with this program, and this is the truth, and this comes from the bottom of our hearts. We are very fortunate to be blessed, and I wrote this on the website just on Friday, with the most intelligent, the most hardworking, and the most loyal audience in all of talk radio. That is a fact. And we thank you for giving us the strength to carry on. But Eddie's right. I mean, we do this as volunteers. We do it to the consternation of some very powerful agencies. And it's a sad thing in this country that law-abiding Christian family men, such as myself and the bombardier who served two tours of duty in Vietnam, has applied his talents and his skill as a registered nurse for the benefit of everyone that has been a patient of his for decades. You know, the work he does on behalf of St. Jude, raising money for the treatment of pediatric childhood illnesses of children of any and all races. You know, it's a shame that when men like us exercise our God-given right to the freedom of speech, that we would come under such condemnation from the federal government, from these agencies, from the media, and from powerful hate groups with hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank, and here we are, you know, barely making enough to
30 cents.
Well, but here's the thing. Eddie, you know how great our audience is, and I don't want people to get the wrong impression.
Sure, sure.
But what Eddie's talking about specifically is, you know, some emails that we receive from time to time. I mean, when you're a show as big as we are, you get emails all the time, and the overwhelming majority, I would say literally 90-plus percent, are very encouraging, very heartwarming, very emboldening emails, and it's the wind beneath our wings, and it puts the wind in our sails, truly. But yes, I mean, Eddie's right. From time to time, we will get an email or a letter from a listener who has claimed to have listened to us for years and has been a contributor, but they heard something we said that they didn't like on the most recent episode, and they're going to withhold all future funding and never listen to us again. And, you know, this is, we are under attack. You know, these wars that we used to enjoy fighting, not us in this program, and certainly not the vast majority of our audience, but, you know, our people throughout history, all the way through the world wars, there's nothing white people enjoyed better than to fight with one another. But we've got to grow beyond that now. And, you know, we're here 3 hours a night, speaking constantly. I am sure in any given show.
10 years?
I am sure in any given show there's something that either Keith or Eddie says that I disagree with pretty wholeheartedly. But, you know, you got to take it on the balance. And I think on a whole, if you put it all on a scale, you would say that the results that we have provided, and we're not defending ourselves here. It's truly, you know, a very infinitesimally small amount of correspondence, but, you know, we share that.
That's who I'm speaking to, son. And I'm going to say was one more thing. I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, James Edwards, he's the chief host here. He makes nothing. And matter of fact, I'm not a rich man. I've had to come up, and I'm not, and listen, this is the first time I ever brought this up. I don't even like talking about money. This is for St. Jude, and I have no shame begging for St. Jude. I've had to come up with money. I mean, we paid, especially going to the old Beanfield station, we had to scrimp and scrape for gas money. We've had to reimburse James for the radio show. I mean, it costs money.
Well, especially
and,
in the early
I don't
years.
Care. I don't care about that because I love the fight. And James just mentioned all these crappy, satanic government agencies and these satanic congressmen that's after us, and I despise them all. But for God's sakes, to catch flack from our own people, you should be supporting us.
Well,
you
know, they do. I mean, we're on the air.
Once again, I'm talking to these few nerdy wells, you know.
Right. I mean, we're on the air because of the support we have from a vast audience. And it's true for the first few years.
Find another show that does what we do for you.
3 or 4 years, we funded this out of pocket. It's true. We paid for our airtime on these AM stations out of pocket. And
sometimes we almost don't make it, as you know, James.
Well, I mean, that's why we do the quarterly fundraising drives. But, you know, I don't want you to get the wrong impression here. Obviously, what Eddie is doing here, and we don't muzzle.
It took me 2 weeks.
We don't put a bit in the mouth of the bombardier. You know, he comes in here unbridled and full of passion. And it's real radio because we're real people, and we don't run off of scripts. And Eddie, you know, you saw the love and support that was there in Memphis at the 10-year anniversary. And we get that from listeners all over the world every single day, every time we do a broadcast. But it is true that we have people who would take issue with us for the first time that we say something they disagree with, and therefore they're going to – and listen, everyone's free to support whomever they want for whatever reason they want. We're thankful for the blessings of the support that comes to us. But yeah, I think you would be hard-pressed to find another organization and certainly another media outlet that is providing the results for our people that this show has done through the support and through the prayerful – and financial contributions of our audience, you know, there's only one political cesspool. And there's only one radio show in this country that has been denounced by Congress this year. There's only one radio show in the country that I know of that's been harassed.
Not Rush Limbaugh, not Sean Hannity. That nobody has been denounced by their own frigging congressman. Like, we say that. I know me and James, we wear that as the Medal of Honor with Oak Leaf Clusters, the Silver Star with Oak Leaf Clusters. You know, Distinguished Service Award, the Purple Hearts, all that combined. I mean, Lord knows we're so proud of that. My spine tingles on the way in here listening to Art, man. The Chief. How can you beat the Chief? I love the Chief. all of us part of the cesspool. But, yeah,
if you're wondering who that is, you know, it's been a while. Art is, of course, our former producer, and he still voices a lot of the commercials. And so Eddie just likes hearing his voice. And
I sure do. I wish the chief could come on. But, yeah, don't get me wrong now. It's not our 99.9%. It's that few nerdy wells. And James has preached this 100,000 times to me. You know, our people always we love to fight each other more than anything. But I had to get that off my chest. It took 2 weeks.
I told Eddie about this. It seems a month ago. You know, sometimes my problem is telling Eddie too much. but be too honest with Eddie. But, you know, listen, you know, I read those emails. You know, we get all kinds of stuff. And we certainly get emails from people who hate us as well. But it does sting a little bit when you get something from a supporter. You know, for whatever reason, they're going. And I don't think we've certainly done anything to deserve that. You just read it. You say, well, that's a shame, but you got to continue on with the fight. And we're going to do that. And we got another great segment coming up right after this.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our 0-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. Well, I stopped to do some walking. I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill, and I feel great.
I had 3 bypasses 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, you know, the great thing about radio is the magic of it all. And as Eddie is singing the praise of our former producer and still Lord of the Board, the one and only Chief Art Frith, Art is emailing as he listens from his retirement in Michigan, and he says hello to you too. So we'll just use this as a big telephone
service.
Well,
I've got to say hello to the chief. All my praise and adulation and warmest love goes out. Fellow military man, you know, we fought the good fight together. Chief did longer than I did. You know, I was just drafted, did my six-year bit, a few years in the National Guard. But, you know, we have a camaraderie, a brotherhood. Even if we weren't further, you know, a military guy, he was such a wonderful guy. I miss him so much. Wish we could get him on for a segment sometime, you know. But, Chief, God bless you.
Closer to the mic.
Okay.
He's listening, and yep. I'm sure he reciprocates. I'll let you know his next email during the commercial break. Hey, I do want to say one more thing about the support we draw from the audience. If you contributed to the Political Cesspool during the month of June, by now, you should have received from me, via email, I believe I sat in the radio station after the show last Saturday and sent a bunch, and then on Sunday morning, I sent the last of them. But you should have received by now, via email from me, a digital copy of Dr. Kevin McDonald's book, Understanding Jewish Influence. Again, in the scholarly masterpiece, Professor McDonald analyzes the impact that Jews have had on the modern world through the lens of evolutionary psychology. This groundbreaking book also includes an introduction written by former nationally syndicated columnist Sam Francis. So, again, if you contributed to our program during the month of June and you have not yet received this gift from me, it is either because we didn't have your email address, or perhaps it was mistakenly overlooked or delivered by accident into your spam folder. Now, keep in mind, almost always, 9 out of 10 times, when we send an incentive out, it's a hard copy book. This happened to be an e-book. So if you didn't get it, if you didn't know to look for it in your inbox, email me right away, james@thepoliticalcesspool.org. And someone from my team will get it to you immediately. We are very fortunate to be blessed, as I said, with the most intelligent, hardworking, loyal audience in all of talk radio. Thank you for giving us the strength to carry on. And if you contributed $100 or more in June, I just got these in. Eddie, look at these bad boys, because we got a caller on the line you're going to be interested in. But look at these bad boys and tell the folks what you're holding in your hand. They just came in. They got delivered on Thursday to the radio station. What do you got?
I tell you what, I like them so well, I'm scounded with one already. This will be my pay for the month. These are beautiful pens, and you can never get too many pens. But these are beautiful pens. I'm going to have to go home with this, Jim. Take it out of my pay sign.
Customized, elegant, political cesspool engraved, laser engraved,
golly,
writing utensil with blue ink. It's coming your way, and a refrigerator magnet. All coming your way, along with the most recent edition of the Occidental Quarterly. So you're going to be getting that via snail mail. And you should have received the McDonald booked via email. If you haven't, again, email me right away. Thank you for your support. We always want to thank you in every way possible. And we like to send gifts as well. Every day's Christmas in the political cesspool. We have the one and only Chief Art Frith on the line now. You ask, and you shall be given. Chief,
what's going on, my brother?
Hey, Eddie. You're dropping a load tonight.
What did you think about his rant, Chief? You sat through quite a few of those while you were running our board over the years. How did tonight's stack up?
Fair to middling.
Well, you know, the Chief and I, we communicate some through Facebook a little bit, and I gave him the, like Chief would say, would tell you, I gave him the Army salute to the Navy last week.
Yeah, right back at you.
And the Chief gives it back in spades, as he always does. Nobody gets anything over
the Chief.
You
know, you are the only Army man. You know, Scoop, Chief, and Winston all
well. You know what?
Serve in the Navy.
I tried to get in the Navy. I tried. They,
you know, to have equal opportunity employer. That's why Eddie's there. Three Navy, one Army.
Well, Chief, I was in the Navy. I passed all the tests and everything. But then the Navy, at the last minute, the Navy wouldn't let me in. They found out my parents were married.
Yes.
Are you going to stand for that, Chief? I know you'd cut his mic if you were still here.
Damn great.
No, you know.
Oh, he cut it. Eddie, no way. Hey, he cut it via Sam.
Playing with the phone again.
Yeah, they should know better than let me play with the phone, Chief.
It became a job after
you
Chief left.
Because those snakes, baby boy.
Yeah, well, we haven't seen any snakes here in a while, but they're probably burned up. We'd have to go to hell where Eddie wished our critics We'd have to go to hell to cool down from Memphis right now. I mean, it is miserable.
Not up here.
Chief, you...
Yeah, Chief's got the hell Michigan up there, but there's a place called hell. And hell, hell freezes over, doesn't it, Chief?
Yeah, a few times a year.
Hey, Chief, do you remember the night? Do you remember the time when the snake got caught in the copier out there at the old Beanfield radio station?
Oh, yeah.
How could anybody forget that smell?
Listen, I got to tell the audience, one night, me and the Chief and James were out there in the old Beanfield station. It was out in the middle of nowhere, woods, beanfields, not too far from the Wolf River bottoms. There was a snake dangling down all of a sudden right over the Chief's head, came down from the ceiling over what should have been the air ducts, but since it was about 128 degrees in there, because, you know, the air in the summertime, the air always conked out. In the winter, the heat always conked out.
Well, that's but the because chief was... wanted to save money.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we would have to.
Doing a show, and it was so hot in there, we had to go outside during the commercial break. And it was about 100 degrees outside, but it felt like Christmas. to get out of the radio station because
it's go outside.
It would get miserable hot out there in the winter. I mean, the heat would break down just like it was planned. It might have been. Dave Brown was probably saving money, you know.
Well, on our show.
Yeah, that's right. He knew we were the only ones crazy enough.
I don't know where this show went, but this is how it would be when Art was with us. You know, it only started to feel like a job after Art left, because when he was there, we would have so much fun during the broadcast.
Yeah.
We still have fun, obviously. But, I mean, every show was a party with Art. You know, there's no doubt about that.
One of my favorite parts of the show when the Chief and we were all out to Beanfield was when every night the Chief would give the local Millington police directions on which way Baby Boy was going home, because Baby Boy had a lead foot, I mean, like Richard Petty, man.
He still does.
I'm holding it. Eddie is my witness. I'm holding it in
only
my.
Only guy that has a mention on the Millington City Council meeting every month on income and expenditures, and the police department always give him top billing.
And if anybody's wondering, Millington is the little suburb of Memphis where the radio station is. But I've got right here, Eddie. Uncoil this thing, and we got to go to another caller here. But you will see. Before we let Art go, and we're so thankful that Art called in, uncoil that and tell Art what you're holding in your hand, and no lies here.
It says traffic citation.
Get on your mic, Pappy.
Traffic citation, Piperton Police Department. Piperton is a little town on the edge of Mississippi and Tennessee, just outside of Cargillville. This is a speeding ticket that better be paid, because we're in enough hot water with the government as there is.
Yeah, I got it on the 3rd of July. I got to
go, darn you.
I'm going to go fight this one in court, by God. August the 5th, I'll be there in Piperton Municipal Court. But I'll let you know. We'll have a big segment.
Well, Chief, be ready to send in some money to help me get James out of jail. If he goes to court, he'll probably be locked up for contempt.
Hey, thank you, Chief. Always good to hear you, buddy. Let's go quickly to Tom.
Good night, Chief.
Tom is either north or south of the Mason-Dixon line.
I'm the south.
He's south. How are you, Tom? Thanks for calling. I'm sorry. I apologize on behalf of all professional radio broadcasters for what this show has devolved into in the last segment. But thank you for holding with us. And what can we do for you?
Wanted to say hello to you and Edward.
Thank you, Edward.
All right.
Edward.
I've been promoted.
Edward now. New York Times. I tweeted this over to Scoop. But the New York Times, they have an editorial. And I think it's one of these guest editorial type things, op-ed piece. And what they're saying is, or what they're calling this editorial, is Confederate memorials as instruments of racial terror.
Yes, I've read that. I've read that exact article, Tom.
Well, I think it's terrible. I mean, you know, this is one that I think you guys ought to really reply to. You know, you really need to reply to that. I think, you know, you guys ought to sit down. Because they almost have to offer you a return, you know, on that one. Because there's everything, all the knocks on Forrest, all the knocks on Memphis, all the knocks on the South, you know, it's just a constant replay. And you guys have done such a good job refuting every one of those knocks. I'd really encourage you to reply to that editorial.
I will, Tom, as a result of your prompting, I will go back and reread that article and write something and send it in. Now, of course, they don't have to do anything, and normally they don't. I know none of us are naive enough to believe that they're fair and balanced, but I will do it, and I'll post it to our website if nothing else. And I appreciate the compliment because we have really taken it as our duty and as our charge over the course of the last month specifically to really break down the cause and effect of the war between the states and to really, for anyone who is open-minded at all in understanding and knowing the truth, we presented that as clearly as we can. But basically what Tom's talking about is this New York Times article. They're talking about all these monuments and statues that are ubiquitous throughout the South. There's thousands of them in every town, city, hamlet.
Another hour.
And they're saying basically these are just monuments to terrorism and that the only reason these monuments were erected were to intimidate blacks, not because these people loved what the Confederacy stood for, were honoring their ancestors, but because they were terrorists. All right, we've got to take a break.